Hey, this is Cam. Thanks for listening to Awakening Church's message of the week.
One of the things that I love about Awakening is your flexibility and your ability to gather and engage in different environments and scenarios. It's really inspiring. And I mentioned at our family meeting, that is a compliment. One of the fathers of the house, Rick Curry, he gave us that compliment about Awakening. And so I'm really grateful for that. I'm so glad that you're here. We knew that it would take a little bit of an adjustment period. And so I understand we're a little bit past seven. And so we're going to make some adjustments for that. But we're so glad that you're here. It's actually been a really exciting week, and just lots of things happening behind the scenes and preparation for this and what is next. And so just really, really excited. And I'm probably going to focus here a good bit. I'm going to try to make eye contact everybody because that's what you're supposed to do. But it's kind of a unique setup. But I'm using this because we actually are trying to record so that we can continue to have a podcast. But I don't always say this when I'm speaking or teaching something that I feel like the Lord is saying, but I want to be very, very emphatic that tonight is a night. If you're a note taker, tonight is the night. Tonight is the night to make some notes in your phone. And I'm going to try to go slow. I'm not going to go long, but I'm going to try to go slow. Because I feel like the Lord wants to say something to us tonight, just around some scripture that we've all heard and some things that I feel like the Lord is just absolutely opening up for me. And there's some stuff that is still marinating that I will not be talking about, but we're gonna get in. It's so good to see all of you, some familiar faces and some new faces as well. And so we're just grateful. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray one more time, and then we're going to jump in and just ask the Lord to move. And so I just want you to just begin to prepare your hearts and your spirits to receive what it is that the Lord is saying to us tonight. Father, we love you. We trust you. I feel your Holy Spirit in this room already. God, I've been very open with you and very open with everyone. I don't know exactly what you're doing, but I know that you are taking us into deeper realms. You're opening up thought processes and patterns and neural pathways that lead us to dependence on you. And so I'm asking tonight that every heart, every spirit would be open to hear your word. God, I cancel any bit of awkwardness in the room because it's in a basement or any thing that may make us feel uncomfortable around that. And we just say we're home and that this is family. And so we just ask that you would speak to us tonight out of the volume of your word and that you would open our hearts to know you more and in a more intimate way. We love you and we welcome you into this room. We welcome you into this room. Come do what you want to do. Come accomplish what you want to do. I feel the weight of heaven in this room right now. And for that, I'm grateful. I just ask that you would speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. I was just asking the Lord just over the last week, what does it mean? What does it mean to do something different and do something new? And there's been a lot of that in our ministry specifically, and pioneering some of the things that the Lord has asked us to do. But I really just began to meditate. What did it really look like for Jesus to come and actually completely bring a different paradigm and a different system than what was happening with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious system of that time, right? What did that really look like? And so I've just really been marinating on that a little bit and thinking about that. And so he reminded me of a scripture that's in Isaiah, and I know that we've all heard it, and we've all probably heard it in scenarios where it's launching us into something brand new, and we're trying to forget the things that are behind, and there is an absolute element of that. But I want to explore something in this. So Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And I'm just, there will be more loading on that for a while. But verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I've probably read that scripture, I don't know, countless times. As a matter of fact, I had an encounter with the Lord probably 22 years ago on Outer Loop, right by where the Jefferson Mall is, around that specific verse. And the Lord has always spoken to me through contrast. There's always been contrast when he speaks to me. And so he led me to that verse probably maybe even 24 years ago. Yeah. Somebody who remembers when Israel Houghton's New Season project came out could tell me when it was, because it was around that time. Some of y'all don't even know who that is. But So this is an amazing scripture, specifically in charismatic circles, right? That we like to use when things get rough, and man, it's been tough. So now we're going to prophesy. Behold, God is doing a new thing, right? It's a new season. All of these things are happening. And the interesting thing to me is the contrast is this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 says that there is no new thing under the sun. And so I begin to think about that thought. Behold, I do a new thing, and yet there is no new thing under the sun. And so that's been something that has been in my 2001. Yeah, so 24 years ago. Hey, that memory's pretty good, right? and actually, I was preparing to go preach in Catlettsburg. I'm pointing to Lexi because her dad was pastoring Catlettsburg. And I was preparing to go preach, and the Lord gave me a specific word for that body around that scripture. And so I immediately began to think about, okay, what is the contrast here? Behold, I do a new thing, shall you not know it? And then the wisest man to ever live says that there's no new thing under the sun. And so I'm like, okay, God, you're gonna have to break it down for me so that I can understand it, right? And so I just really began to meditate on that, and the Lord spoke something specifically to me around that, and I'll introduce that in just a moment. But as I was thinking about that again today, the Lord put these two words in my spirit, in my brain, whatever you want to call it. And I believe this is something that he is moving us to, and it's these two words, sustainable dependence. Sustainable dependence. And this is what I feel like defines sustainable dependence. God moves the watermark of our dependence on him in order to keep us focused on his gaze and not just the resources and provision. So what do I mean by that? Sustainable dependence. Remember in Exodus chapter 17, when God speaks to Moses and the children of Israel are hangry and they're thirsty in the wilderness, and they're begging him for something to drink. And he tells Moses, I want you to hit the rock. And so Moses obeys. He hits the rock and water begins to flow. Okay. But then in Numbers chapter 20, verse 11, they're hangry and thirsty again. It was a pattern, right? It was a pattern. And this time God speaks to Moses and says, I don't want you to hit the rock. I actually want you to just speak to the rock. In other words, he's raising the watermark of the dependence on Moses to the Father. He's raising the watermark so that Moses does not begin to put faith in his staff, right? Because that staff had been used for a lot, right? Part the Red Sea, throw it down, make it a snake. There's so many things that staff had been used for. And so God is now moving the watermark for Moses. He says, I don't want you to use even what I gave you in nobility, even what I gave you that worked for you for such a long time. I don't want you to become dependent on that. So this time, I don't want you to strike the rock. I actually want you to speak the rock. So the watermark of the dependence that Moses had on the Father was growing based on the need in the moment. Now, they were probably not any more thirsty in numbers than they were in Exodus. They were actually probably still the same, right? And there was no less power in the staff in numbers than there was in Exodus. But what God was trying to get Moses to understand is there's actually more power in your voice and your obedience than the action that you put into it, okay? And so what happens a lot of times, the focus of the enemy and sometimes religion, I want you to hear that, the focus of the enemy and sometimes religion is to keep you focused on the seemingly most traumatic experience or rescue. I'm gonna break that down in just a minute. I really believe that one of the things the enemy wants to do is to keep us in a cycle of remembering the absolute most traumatic time that we had gone through and making that a defining factor of what rescue, provision, and intervention look like. I really, really think that this is important, because what happens is this creates neural pathways in our brain that lead us back to the trauma and the method of escape or rescue. Here's why. Our brains are wired for safety, okay? So every time we go through something traumatic, it triggers a response and it triggers a memory, and we begin to define what is going to happen next based on the memory that we have from the traumatic experience before. Are you with me? And so what happens is we begin to create neural pathways. We begin to create brainwaves and thought processes that cause us to believe that every traumatic experience that we have, every trial that we come up against, God has to move in a specific way that mirrors how he got me out of the most traumatic experience. And if he doesn't move that way, then maybe he's not operating on my behalf in this moment. If he doesn't get me out just like he got me out when it was the most traumatic that I can remember, because that's what I go to every time. Every time I face something, every time I come up against an obstacle, every time I come up against a wall, something hits me in my chest and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. Every single time that happens, it puts me back into a moment and I relive that trauma, and then I begin to look for God to operate the same way that he did in that moment, when sometimes what he's doing is raising the watermark of our dependence. Because if we're not careful, what we'll do in that trauma is we'll begin to lean into the actual method of rescue or the provision that came in the moment, and then we define his grace based on how he got us out of the previous situation and not what he wants to do for us in this moment. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You remember he said that he wants to take us from glory to glory and faith to faith? And I believe what he's doing is he's inviting the body of Christ into this idea of sustainable dependence, where we're not just having faith for him to rescue us like he did before, but we're actually saying, God, you actually know what's best for me. You actually know what the next steps are. Even though I think I know, you actually know. And so I'm going to lean into you in the place of intimacy. I'm going to lean into you in the place of dependence so that I can actually get into what you're wanting me to do. Here's what happens. Most of us frame our future based on our past. When you frame your future based on your past, you immediately limit the effectiveness of what he can bring into your future I'm talking about finances. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about everything that we do. We frame it based on what we know from the past. What if we actually begin to frame our future based on the place of faith from the present in spite of what the past leads us to? Do you hear what I'm saying? And so because our brains are wired for safety, we create these thought patterns and processes that lead us to focus on the method. And, you know, we used to say it, and you know, boy, we thought we were saying something back in the day when we said, Jesus, I want your face and not your hands. I want the giver and not the gift. Y'all have heard them, right? I mean, we could go down the cliches, and we thought we were saying something. We really thought we were talking. But the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, we still expected him to do it like he did the first time. Ryan, how can you say that? Because you talk to anybody who was in a measure of revival, and the first thing that they want to say is, God, why don't you do it like you did there? Why don't you do it like you did it at Brownsville? Why don't you do it like you did it at Lakeland? Why don't you do it like you did it at Toronto? Why don't you do it like you did it at Azusa? And I love all of those things. But what if he actually wants to release a third great awakening that blows our mind, that we have no, that actually no eye has seen and no ear has heard? And it's not just referring to us getting to heaven, but literally moving us into something where our dependence is so on him that we don't place our faith in him simply based on the way that he rescued us from the most difficult trauma. Can I show you in scripture? So this is actually connected to Jeremiah chapter 16. And I want you to listen to what the Lord says to the prophet Jeremiah. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands where he had driven them, for I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. Do you hear what he's saying right there? What you want to talk about is the fact that I brought you out of Egypt. And what you want to do is focus about how I brought you out of Egypt. And it was amazing that I parted the Red Sea. And it was amazing that you got to go through the wilderness and your clothes never wore out and your shoes never wore out. And it was amazing. But can we also talk about the fire by night and the cloud by day? But beyond that, he said, listen, what you've done is you've placed this identity on me. You have placed this identity on me that I am the God that saved you from Egypt. But what he's actually saying is, I'm so much God, and Abraham never even saw Egypt. Yeah. Isaac and Jacob never even experienced Egypt. But I put something in Abraham that he would leave where he was, and I introduced myself to him in a way that caused him to leave everything and follow me faithfully. And then if you follow it down the road, then I get to Moses, and before I bring you out of Egypt, I actually introduce myself to Moses and say, I am Jehovah. Abraham didn't even know me as Jehovah. And he followed me. But I am leading you into a place where I am going to introduce myself to you in a way that I didn't even introduce myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so what God is saying is, you're not going to continue to call me the God who saved you from Israel, because I am about to do something from Egypt. I am about to do something beyond what I did in Egypt, and I am going to establish you in your own land. Do you understand how impossible they thought that was in the moment? So what am I saying? I'm saying I want you to think about the most traumatic experience that you have had that the Lord has rescued you out of. I want you to think about that. And what I'm telling you is that his love is even more deep than that moment and the most traumatic experience that you have had to deal with. He's showing you in this moment, I'm actually getting ready to do something brand new that is not connected to your past trauma. It's not connected to the past journey that you've been on. on, but it's completely brand new. And I am going to build a repertoire with you or a rapport with you so that you actually have sustainable dependence. See what happens when we allow our thought process and our thought patterns to go only to one way that God rescues us or saves us. It actually erodes the stability and faithfulness of our perception of the Father. I want you to hear that. That when you think that he can only do it one way, or you think that he can only do it a particular way that you heard one time, it actually erodes your perception of his faithfulness. And you begin to build a neural pathway that says, if he doesn't do it like this, then he must be just wanting me to go through hell. If he doesn't do it like this, then he must not be wanting to rescue me from this. If he doesn't set me free the way that I need him to in this moment, based on what he did in the past, then he must be just leaving me out here to dangle. And guys, I'm just telling you, God does not operate that way. And I'm saying all of this because God is opening our hearts and our eyes and our minds and our ears to know more about him. And this is why Jesus could tell his disciples, loving me empowers you to keep my commandments. And I'm telling you that what the Lord is doing in a prophetic way, I believe even in this room, is he is going to begin to retrain some minds, and he's going to begin to retrain some thought processes where we've allowed this concept and this idea to erode the faithfulness or our perception of the faithfulness of the Father. And we thought, well, I guess he's just left me on an island for this particular situation. I just want to tell you that what he's doing is he is bringing a rescue, and he's bringing a love to you that is beyond the most traumatic rescue that you've been a part of thus far. The only constant in the method of rescue is the blood of Jesus. That's the only constant. The way that he wants to do it is up to him. The way that he wants to create this idea of sustainable dependence is completely up to him. And so I really believe that what he's doing is he's opening pathways in our minds and in our thought processes so that we never revisit our past aside from the blood of Jesus. Right? We've talked about that. Because when I revisit that past, when I revisit that traumatic experience, aside from the blood of Jesus, I'm actually empowering a lie. I'm actually giving power to a lie, because everything that he paid for is available for me right now. It's not available for me once I get everything right. It's not available for me once I make every right decision, because I'm not going to. It's available for me right now. And what he is saying to the children of Israel and to us today through the prophets is, don't just remember how I set you free the first time, because if you do that, you're limiting me based on your understanding of that moment. Actually, I am preparing you for something that is beyond what you have the ability to even comprehend, because there's going to come a day where you're not going to say, man, he saved me from that hell, but I don't know if he can do it here. He saved me from that mess, and maybe he'll do it now. He's actually opening up the invitation for us to sustainable dependence. Here's the revelation around doing a new thing and no new thing under the sun. Just because it's new to us doesn't mean it's new to him.
Thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.